You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up to get a new account with amazing odds boosts every single day. AJ, Jesse, Megan, Rudo, the whole crew here today to talk a little bit about some NHL awards, because we're at the point of the year where not every team, the Avs, are only at 20 games, which is, you know, it's almost 25% of the way through the season, but just about every team's a quarter of the way through. So, you know, there's enough there to have a conversation about these types of things. Should be an interesting one. Some awards feel like they might be runaways already. Some awards feel like it's anybody's game. So we'll see which way it goes on some of these. You guys want to start at the back and work our way forward, or start at the forwards and work our way back?
Start in net. Okay. Assuming that's what you mean by back. And
that is what I meant. Yes, indeed. Look, if it ended today, would Georgiev be a Vezina finalist?
I mean, let me say it this way. I think he's played like he deserves to be. If he actually gets there, I don't know.
The tough part for me is that I think that there would be four really obvious candidates for it.
Yeah.
Georgiev, Hellebuck, Sorokin, and Ullmark. And then last night happened. Like Hellebuck and Georgiev went head to head, and instead of it being a really interesting goaltender duel, Georgiev had his worst game of the season, and Hellebuck walked out with a 40 save shutout. So, with the recency bias in consideration, I would say Georgiev this morning feels like fourth place there, but it's quite something that I feel bad about putting Georgiev in fourth place among NHL goaltenders. But
yeah, that's my thing with it. He's in the conversation. Yeah, if you were ending it today, does he actually get in on the top three? AJ lays out, you know, good points there, but really I think I'm kind of at the same place where AJ is, that really, I think if you have him inside your top three or at four, that's pretty much right in line with kind of how I view it. And that's nothing to be upset about. Like, you know, Kemper, I thought last year had like a top five-ish season despite getting a lot of flack. And Georgiev, I think right now is a bit better than where Kemper was at.
Megan, think Knives Out or...
No, I think that's why it's feasible to me to imagine him in the conversation, because after January, Kemper was talked about as a dark horse candidate for Vezina, and it wasn't a stretch of the imagination for Kemper then. And so I think with where Georgiev is at and how much season is left to be played, it still feels like a valid argument to make that I would put my backing behind, that he belongs in that conversation. There's still a lot of time left to see what placement he has in those rankings.
Where I think Georgiev faces the biggest problem is that he's the goalie for the Avs.
Yeah.
And that's not like an anti-Colorado stance. That's a voters will punish good teams, players on good teams kind of stance. Where if you look at the other two, Sorokin and Hellebuck are like vital parts who are like keeping deeply flawed rosters, competitive or whatever. Like in the Jets case, they're right at the top of the Central. And people don't expect the Jets to really be there long term. And so you look at Hellebuck and you say, well, without Hellebuck, they wouldn't be there. And we know that with Georgiev, without Georgiev's brilliance, the Avs would probably be a 500 team right now, maybe worse. But the outside perception does not look at Colorado that way. They don't look at the injury issues. They don't look at any of that stuff and say, you know, oh, the Georgiev is the main reason that this team is where they are, because, as we'll get to later, Kale McCarr is still Kale McCarr. Nathan MacKinnon is having the kind of season that he's having. Mikko Rantanen is having the kind of season that he's having. So you look at Georgiev and you're like, okay, well, their normal star power is star powering out. Georgiev is kind of the quiet backbone of it. And I think that it will be hard for him to fight that perception in particular. The funny thing here is that Ullmark is also backstopping a good team that, you know, I'm shocked they're as good as they've been to start the year just because of their injury issues out the gate. But when a team is so good and they have a top goalie, it gets overlooked. So it's like,
oh, see, I actually disagree.
Boston is incredible in part because of their goalie. Colorado is expected to be good. They're really good. Okay, great. But I think Georgiev has a negative perception that he has to fight, that anybody can go to Colorado and succeed.
See, I disagree a little bit, because I actually think this is one of the few awards where the voters don't punish the player for the team they play on. Just like looking back, you've got Vasilevsky the year they won the President's Trophy, Marc-Andre Fleury the year that they were second. Igor Shesterkin, who now, you know, he was on a good team last year, but that was a lot. Him, Pekka Rinne, the year they went to the finals. Like, I actually think this is one of those weird awards. You know, we all remember the Tuukka Rask year where he beat out a much more deserving Semyon Varlamov for the reasons AJ was just listing. But I do think it's funny that historically, because AJ, you're like, I feel like you're spot on with every award except for Vezina. For some reason, team success doesn't bother voters the same way that it does for a lot of other awards. And you touched on Ullmark, and that was one thing I was gonna call out was, you know, I actually think one of the reasons why I think if people were voting on it today, Georgiev would actually probably be on the outside, is because they go, oh, well, you know, Ullmark's got his team in first place, so he's in there. This one is a weird one that, in my opinion, bucks some of those normal trends that we see with some of the other awards at times.
So they did NHL.com did a straw poll of these awards the other day, and Georgiev was seventh.
Ah.
Please tell me they put Akira Schmid on that straw poll.
They did not.
Unfortunate. Who else was ahead of him besides who you said?
The usuals, right?
Sure.
But you also had you had Ottinger in there, you had Hart in there, Logan Thompson was in there, and this is where a guy like Logan Thompson or Vitek Vanacek is going to have an advantage on Georgiev, is that when you're on a surprise team,
sure,
you know, a team that people pick to finish low in the standings. If you're on a surprise team and they're, oh, well, what's different about that team from this year to last year? It's the goalie. It's always the goddamn goalie. So those guys always give Vezina votes too. And with Logan Thompson, it's like, oh, well, the team in front of him that everybody picked to be first place in the Pacific last year is healthy again and now playing. And he's been really good. Like, that's not even trying to take away from Logan Thompson, just so Megan doesn't murder me. But, like, Logan Thompson's been really good. But if you're going to try and tell me that Logan Thompson's been better than Alexander Georgiev, you're fucking high.
So I guess my next question would be, is this sustainable for some of the guys you have ahead of Georgiev? Obviously, Hellebuck has been that guy before in his career. You look at Ullmark, he's never really been this dude before. Granted, he hasn't really been in a starter role up until now. And then with Sorokin, doesn't have a particularly long track record. So is there some belief in these guys and Georgiev as well? Who do you believe in most?
Certainly Sorokin, because I think he's just shown over the last year. I mean, he was so good last year too. He's only been really, he's only been exceptional everywhere he's been. So I think Sorokin is the real deal. He's going to be a guy that they have to fight with them for, but you know, Ullmark, like Boston, they're not going to continue to play at 850 hockey.
He'll go as they go, I think.
Well, and so he's hurt at the moment and Swayman is in there and it's like, okay, well, if they continue to win without Ullmark, if Swayman, if they just keep rolling along with Swayman, it hurts Olmark's case because it's like, well, the other guy came in and was also great. So this might just be a team environment thing. So that could really hurt him if that continues up. And like, I do think that Boston will eventually take a dip and we'll see where everything lies after that. Ottinger, I mean, I've been a big Jake Ottinger believer for a long time. So I would say that he's probably a guy that will be there in the end. I don't think Logan Thompson and Carter Hart continue to stick around. A couple of their numbers, when I looked at them, I was like, these feel pretty unsustainable. So, and I think with Hart, it's already started. And Philly in general, after that fun hot start that they have, it's kind of like, okay. But
a lot of the hot start teams have way cooled off.
Yeah. Vanacek is one that you wonder about because I do think I was the believer of the Devils coming into the season. Not at this level, obviously, but I do think that the Devils are pretty good. And so Vanacek is a guy that could continue to hang around as long as they continue to win. And then you do wonder about guys, you know, where's Igor Shesterkin going to fit into this? We're only a quarter of the way through the season. You got 75% of the season to go here. Counting out Igor Shesterkin sure feels like foolhardy at this point. So I don't think we've seen the last of that dude even this year. So we'll see. But I do believe that Georgiev is the real deal in Colorado. So it's just looked too good. And games like last night felt so weird with him playing as poorly as he did. You're just like, he just hasn't played like this very often.
I think the way I evaluate this list of goaltenders, what my expectation is for them moving forward, has a lot to do with my expectation for the team that's playing in front of them. Can they sustain how they've been playing so far? Are there reinforcements on the way? What is the status of the injuries on that team presently? And there are some teams that have more injuries than others. Obviously, I'm most familiar with what's going on with the Avalanche, and I expect reinforcements to be on the way to Georgiev, who's already played well behind a crippling, injured Avalanche team. And so I expect that Georgiev can sustain this and build upon this throughout the course of the season because reinforcements are on the way. But for some of these other teams like a Boston, I think that's a team that is competitive because it does genuinely have good pieces, but I don't know that a lot of reinforcement is on the way, for example. So I think they'll stabilize. I think they'll continue to be competitive. And so I think that goaltender, Ullmark, is going to be in that conversation for the foreseeable future too. But it's different. Like, looking at even what's going on with Hellebuck and the Winnipeg Jets, I think that that's a team that's also going to stabilize in ways. I think for right now, the biggest injury out of their team is Ehlers, and I think he'll return later in the season, but I just don't know what kind of an impact that's going to have on how competitive this team can be for the rest of the season.
Whereas, well, Ehlers pretty good, but
yeah, but he's a single person.
Yeah, exactly. It's like is Gabe Landeskog going to magically fix all of Colorado's second line issues? No, but Gabe Landeskog, Val Nichushkin, and Evan Rodriguez sure could.
Well, look at the look at the impacts of those players, right? Gabe Landeskog, one of the Avs' best defensive forwards. Val Nichushkin, one of the Avs' best defensive forwards. On the back end, Bowen Byram, one of the Avs' better defensive defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
The Avs are getting a lot of players back in a month or two or whatever down the line that should make their goaltender's job easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're giving up around 35 shots per game right now, somewhere in that neighborhood. That's you don't expect that will continue. With your two best, their two best defensive forwards are Landeskog and Nichushkin. They're certainly their best two-way guys going against other teams' top competition, and just the Darren Helm for. You know what, Jason Magna, I guess, just pick a guy. Jason Magna, Jean-Luc Foudy, whatever. Like, just pick any of these guys that would otherwise be in the AHL. Darren Helm, for that guy, is a min-max defensively. And, like, that's why he's in the lineup, is his defensive acumen. Evan Rodriguez was off to a great two-way start this year. So, defensively, the Avs have so much more room for improvement that the job should get a lot easier. How does he handle that though? Because we've talked about it in the past. That's a different environment. When you're seeing 33, 35 shots per night, you're in a certain rhythm and you're the starter every day. You're in a certain rhythm all the time. What happens when he goes 9 minutes without seeing a shot on goal? You know, and it's happening every night. You know, what happens the opening night this year, you know, 17 shots on goal. Now, we're not going to say that that's the expected norm for Colorado, but it's a lot more like 25 than 35 is kind of like the 25 to 28 range is kind of where you want to see Colorado. Colorado has built themselves for it to that to be the goal, for it to be in the mid to high 20 range in shots. And if that's the case, like his job gets a lot easier, but it also gets a lot harder for him to produce the fancy goalie stats that we use a lot now, you know, the goal save above expected. Well, if you're only seeing, you know, 25 shots and you're only seeing five high danger chances, your expected goals against is going to be like 1.5 every night or something like that. It's going to be really low. So if you give up two goals, you're losing ground. You're a negative in that game, which is a crazy thing to believe. Like, it's like, Jesus, like, come on. That's
would you say that Georgiev could take over this award?
Really? This is how you want to do this?
If you guys didn't know, on December 17th, which also happens to be my birthday, we are doing an Avalanche takeover of Ball Arena. Includes a party bus to and from the event. You can get your tickets now at the DNVR locker if you want to sign up. It's tickets to the game. It's also a bus ride there, and then it's a bus ride back to the bar. We can all party, have a great time against Nashville on December 17th. Come party for Rudo's birthday, if nothing else. You can also get discounted tickets if you are a diehard member with DNVR. So another great reason to become a diehard with us at thednvr.com. Highly recommend you check it out. Takeover was an absolute blast. Last time I took off my shirt and spun it around like crazy in the arena, and that wasn't even my birthday. So who knows what's going to happen this time. Check it out. Also, will be lots of Breck Brew drunk at this event. So we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery. Well, not brought to you. We're brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, but one of our longtime sponsors, Breckenridge Brewery. You can get all sorts of different kind of Breck Brews at your local liquor store. Check it out online at breckbrew.com. And, of course, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. When you sign up for a new account with them, you can get a DNVR code in there, bet $5 on any NHL team to win their next game. And if they do, you get $150 in free bets. So check that out. You can also bet on parlays. You can bet on all sorts of ridiculous sports. You can bet on the World Cup as that continues to go on into the elimination rounds here. Are you guys betting on the US? I'm not, but you know, it could be fun.
What the fuck? Kind of un-American shit is that? Of course I'm betting on the U.S.
Right. look, making money is the most American thing I can think of, so.
True.
Bit of a tough spot on that one. Either way, head over to DraftKings. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, of course, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Getting into the defenseman. Is this Erik Karlsson's award to lose at this point?
No. It's Cale Makar's award to lose.
I mean, he won it last, but who is the front runner? It's got to be EK, right?
No.
Okay, let's hear with someone who has some actual thoughts.
What? Yes. I mean, right now it is. Like, how? Like, who else would you say is ahead of him right now? It's Karlsson.
Megan, tie break.
Wow.
I can't believe this is even as hard.
I didn't know he was on this much of a tear. Like, I knew it was like a resurgence. What had happened to Erik Karlsson this season? And I didn't realize he's taken off, at least offensively, as much as he has. He's got 5 games in hand on Cale Makar, though. It still feels like it's Cale Makar to lose. The storyline for Karlsson, I think, especially if he can continue to produce the way that he is really compelling. I couldn't deny that, but we just know what Cale Makar is capable of up close firsthand. I would never discount that guy.
Right, but the conversation is, if you're voting today, you had to vote today.
Is Makar even a finalist if you vote today?
What the fuck world am I in right now?
I was going to say, that's a pretty wild take.
Not Josh, yeah. But you have Karlsson. I think you probably have Dahlin. You're probably putting Makar in that third spot, but like, you could put Fox there.
Fox is there right now. Today, he's there. I wouldn't... feel comfortable with that.
I'll go ahead and send your hate that way.
AJ doesn't even want to be a part of this conversation anymore.
Absolutely not.
AJ would still have Makar at 1, huh? Is that how it is?
Yes. You know why? Because we saw Cale Makar 1 with a 10-point deficit in points last year, because defense matters in this award. And Erik Karlsson's defense is as bad as ever. He is a bottom-tier defender in his own zone. He gets rocked. He gets rocked defensively. He's having – and the resurgence is fun. He should be a finalist. Erik Karlsson suddenly being, like, god-tier offensive defenseman again is awesome. It's great for the league. It's not so great for the Sharks, but it's great for the league. Like, I'm all about the storyline, but to win the Norris, you can't be a 0% defensively. You just can't. I will never give that unless that guy has like 50 more points than the next closest guy. Then maybe we're in that room. But I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it right now. Erik Karlsson only has a 7-point lead on the next closest guys. And he's got 25 games played, so his numbers are like big time numbers. I'm not the best point per game rates. I understand. I'm not giving it to him though. I'm just not giving it to him.
Fair enough. Sell me on why not Dahlin then.
You can give it to Rasmus Dahlin. He's the shit. Like, he's been awesome this year. Like, he really has been awesome this year. But okay. I guess this is where look, I'll be like super pro Colorado fanboy on this one, but Cale Makar is everything for the Avs. When they play well, it's because he's played well. Very rarely do the Avs win on a night where Cale Makar is not being a superstar caliber of player. And you're talking about one of the best teams in the league. Now, granted, obviously we've talked about the injuries and they're a compromised version of them of what they will eventually be right now. But Cale's in all situations this year. He's played a ton of PK minutes. He's played the top power play minutes. He's playing a shitload at even strength, sometimes with guys that other fans will have never even heard of. Guys that are just coming up from the AHL, and he's got fucking Jacob McDonald hanging around right now trying to sink the ship. Like, I tell you, man, he's done everything for them. He's been everything for them. And that's why I'm just giving it to him. But if you really wanted to make an argument for Rasmus Dahlin, I'm cool with that. He has been really awesome.
Okay. Fair enough. Rex is quite angry about this conversation in the background.
That's because he understands this is Cale Makar. Somebody's gonna have to pry it away from his cold dead fingers.
Whoa.
That thing is staying in Denver for the next half decade. No, I'm not giving it to anybody else.
Thankfully, still a lot of time in the season for a little bit of course correction here and there. Not that Makar has been bad. He's certainly in the conversation. But I'm just certainly not convinced that the voters would be giving it to him right now.
You would be correct. Because again,
that's how the question was framed.
That straw poll that they did, Erik Karlsson was first, second place was Makar, third place was Dahlin.
I mean, second place is not bad.
I think we could all agree we'd want it to be Cale Makar.
Somebody gave a first place vote to Hampus Lindholm, though, so you're always gonna have those fucking guys to watch
out
for.
It is a straw poll at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely so, high.
Confidence that Makar will be a finalist at the end of the year, at very least. I know AJ's all sunshine and rainbows over there, but let's be a little bit realistic.
100%, dude. He's gonna be there. The thing that voter fatigue hasn't set in yet with Cale Makar, and here's the other part of it. Cale Makar, people love the guy. Love the guy. Okay? Like, he's incredible to watch. He does everything for a great team. For all the reasons that I'm worried about Georgiev being overlooked, all the shit works in Makar's favor. Everybody loves Cale Makar.
Yeah. Now, the voter fatigue thing, I think, is funny, and we've talked about it in years past. I mentioned the Varley year where he finished second in the Vezina voting, and like objectively he should have won, but it was like voters just going waves every now and, like, last year it was going to take something incredible for Cale Makar to not win the Norris. It was just kind of his turn, and he had a outstanding season. Mm-hmm. Like AJ's right. Like, the voters still really like him. He's still kind of like the shiny new toy. We'll get to Hart. I think he's got one of those in his future. I'm just looking at this. I agree with you guys. I think by the end of the season, I believe it will be Cale Makar. I think he's the best defenseman in the league by a growing margin. And that includes Adam Fox. That includes Victor Hedman. All of that. But by the end of the year, I think this is his award again. But if you're making me vote on it right now, AJ, you're not wrong about the defensive side of the game. I just think what Erik Karlsson has done to start this season after his career was buried, it's been super impressive for me.
I do want to move.
I will say the dark horse there is Charlie McAvoy. Because he's producing a crazy amount of
points. Just doesn't have the games yet.
Yeah. By the end of the year, I think we'll look back and be like the first 15 games or whatever. Like, will that be a differentiating factor at the end? Maybe, but keep an eye on Charlie McAvoy, because that guy is fucking awesome.
I do want to move away from the Avs conversation a little bit here with the Calder talk. If you don't believe in EK running away with his award, do you believe in Matty Beniers running away with the Calder?
Yes.
Okay. I struggle to see who can compete with him. Maybe a Michelli or a Perfetti can get into that conversation.
No.
you get beyond that, Kent Johnson, no. Kalen Addison. It's a stretch to get outside of those three, really, I think.
Cole Perfetti is going to be the number one guy who suffers when Nikolai Ehlers comes back.
Yeah.
And so that's the biggest roadblock for Perfetti sticking around. I think in that conversation, in terms of hanging with Matty Beniers as a potential winner, I think Perfetti's got just as good a shot as anybody to be a finalist, but I think Matty Beniers is probably going to run away from this from the pack with this one, and everyone else is fighting for second place.
Okay.
Fair enough. My guy to watch though is Jack Quinn, because I keep having fantasy hockey dreams about him, and so that tells me that he's about to take flight.
All right, sell all your stock in Jack Quinn. Confirmed.
Man, Owen Power, when I watch him play, I don't know. I've always been so lukewarm on him, and then he shows up in the NHL, and I'm like,
about it.
This guy's good. But we'll see. I don't know. But the Sabres are so fun to watch right now that I could just pick the Sabres.
Just give the Sabres organization the Calder Trophy.
Yeah. It's fine. They should be rewarded for playing all those kids and not wasting time on retread veterans.
At least they're fun. We are brought to you by Game Time. If you go down into the description of this video, there's a link right there where you can go over to Game Time and join over 15 million people who have gotten their tickets for deals up to 60% off list price. So it's a great way to go see an Avs game, which tickets are not cheap, by the way. So you might want to come on a party bus because you get a really good deal, other stuff there. But Game Time can hook you up countrywide. Doesn't matter what city you're in. They have tickets to all of the sporting events in your area. So be sure to use that link down in the description. That helps us out a little bit too when you download their app through that link. Again, Game Time, super awesome way to get tickets all the way around. A bunch of people have used it in the company. If you're not looking for high price events the way the Avs are, the company got tickets for $1 per person to go to Coors Field. So obviously not going to Coors Field now, but when springtime rolls around, you're basically going to the best bar in town for free.
Just that sounds right.
So check out Game Time. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
Should we plug that takeover again?
Get on the party bus. Come to the takeover.
It's the best stepmom doesn't yell at us. Do you call her stepmom?
Yep.
Yeah. Allie's not here.
Yeah, well, because Allie's pod mom, so.
We could have two moms.
Yeah.
I mean.
Is she the mother-in-law? Is that the.
Mom and step. I think pod stepmom is appropriate.
I hope she's listening and not still trying to get the TVs to work.
That would be fun.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. The award that has eluded the Avs for this entire era, essentially.
We talked about the Vezina already.
This one's the Hart Trophy, though. Today, I don't think the Avs are coming all that close to winning this award. But Mikko Rantanen, he's within 10 points of Connor McDavid. Even if you like Connor McDavid, boy, has Jason Robertson been good this year. Do you have Mikko? I don't even think you have him as a finalist right now, probably, but is he at least in the conversation?
For me, I don't think either of these two are finalists, but I think you could make an argument that both Mikko and Nate have had Hart finalist caliber seasons so far. Again, and this is the part that it makes it hard because this doesn't get considered in voting and it'll be different by the time the end of the year comes and the voting is actually taking place. But I want to make sure that those two guys, along with Cale Makar, and then we talked at length about Georgiev earlier, I hope we are doing a good enough job of giving them the credit they deserve for doing what they're doing, given what this roster looks like right now. And given that the Avs are sitting where they're sitting, I think league-wide, for people that don't pay super close attention to them, it's like, oh, yeah, the Avs are supposed to be there. What's that? They got some injuries? Well, yeah, they're still there. You know, they're good. They're supposed to be at the top of the league. But, you know, Brendan McNicholas, the Avs' outstanding head of PR, always has the craziest stats, was talking about this is the team's best start since Patrick Waugh's first year behind the bench. Basically running on Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Cale Makar. It's very impressive. So if we were voting today, no, probably neither of those guys are even in the top three, but I absolutely think they have had that caliber of season, at least now, whatever we are, just about 2 months in. I think they should be in that conversation, even though they probably wouldn't be.
Okay.
The end.
The end.
Fair point.
Honestly, you could maybe even put Makar in there too if you really like. You
definitely probably could. Are you guys both comfortable with McDavid and Robertson as finalists then? And it's kind of just that third spot.
I am. It's hard to unseat, if not McDavid, then Draisaitl right behind him, playing alongside him, just because of how productive they are together. And Robertson, he's just good. I think I expected him to have this season when he signed the contract that he did. I thought it was such a steal for Dallas, and I expected him to take a step forward. Like, I don't know if it's this sustainable, but I expected him to be very good this season. So I think he'll be able to keep it up for the most part. So I think that will stay competitive for Robertson specifically.
Look, if you're, in my opinion, we're, you know, a quarter of the way through the season, and unfortunately, the Edmonton Oilers have proved me right again. The first year they proved me right. I wasn't burned by them this year. They're just, again, another two-man team. McDavid is, without a doubt, the most important player to his team in the NHL. Like, if it's not for him, that team is 6-7 games below 500. To me, if everyone's being honest with themselves and, like, true to the award.
Which no one is.
It's McDavid. Right. It's McDavid for the foreseeable future until he leaves Edmonton, because that team will just perennially be a joke. And if he's not there driving the bus.
Reality or not, let's live in a world where there's some Edmonton voter fatigue on this award here. You have Nikita Kucherov up there. You probably have David Pasternak up there too.
He's my three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So between them, and then you kind of get into Mikko MacKinnon territory after that, probably.
Tage Thompson.
How do you guys feel about Erik Karlsson in this one? Like, can a guy get an MVP award when he's on a bottom feeding team that isn't any good at all?
No
matter how good a year he's had, like, can he have an MVP award when you finish 28th in the league? So you have a don't make the playoff cutoff, like when Nathan MacKinnon that year with Taylor Hall, and it was like they have to make the postseason otherwise. I wouldn't say they have to make the playoffs, but they have to at least like be there. If you miss the playoffs, by like 2 points or something, and the primary reason is that guy, like an example could be Kirill Kaprizov this year, not last year on the team that comfortably made the postseason, but a team that could be scratching and clawing for a postseason spot. And Kaprizov is like far and away the only reason that team is not you know, full on tank mode. Like, but see, but so we are, we do agree that a guy like Carlson, San Jose is too bad for Carlson to move that combo.
I don't agree. I don't mind it if the MVP is on a team like that. However, I don't think it will be Carlson, just because if he keeps up his current production, like if this sustains the entire year, it might be a conversation. But for a defenseman to win the MVP, they just truly have to do something unbelievable.
Kale McCarr-like.
Okay, but even if they do something unbelievable and that team finishes 28th out of 32.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I care how good the player is.
So if Erik Karlsson not only like kept this pace, but like even stepped it up a bit and finished season with like 110 points.
Yeah, I would give it to him.
On the 28th, really?
Yeah, don't care if the Nashville's the worst team. They could finish 32nd. If he's that good, he's the MVP.
So, you're looking for a nice Ted Lindsay Award. That's what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, the award everyone really cares about.
You have to be valuable to your team. Simply scoring a bunch of points.
Well, if you're
no good, you're of no value.
There's an argument that McDavid has no value. Then, by that logic.
Well, that team's going to be in the postseason.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he's the only thing that keeps them relevant. If it's not for him, they're down there with the Sharks. Erik Karlsson isn't keeping the Sharks any more relevant. He's just a fun story.
I mean, he's keeping them from being the laughingstock of the world. He's arguably, like,
is he
way more valuable to the Sharks than a very good player is to a team that's a playoff team?
How do you make that argument, though? Because they're still going to lose 50-plus games this year.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could get into
the difference in value is
he's keeping them from a top pick or something. So it's not actually valuable. But
well, and not even viewing it from the valuing a draft pick, but how valuable is a guy that is the difference in a team being 28th or 20th?
Yeah,
you know, like you could, that's where Carlson Kaprizov could come in, because Kaprizov, his team could be 20th a little bit, but if Carlson has 110 point season and they finish 28th,
who cares? Shit. Yeah,
it feels like empty numbers to me. There's got to be giving an MVP award. Feels like the team's got to be competitive. Like, obviously, this is like a total hypothetical, whatever.
Don't agree,
but
that the team has to be competitive. The MVP should go to the most valuable player in the league. And
I don't know how you argue value for a team that's not competitive.
Because because how much worse would they be without Erik Karlsson? I guess
not that much worse, because they're already 28th.
I don't.
Right.
They would go from 28th to 32nd.
Stop looking at it as they only moved up four spots. Start looking at it as how much worse would their season have been and felt without the guy.
How much worse would it have felt? What the fuck?
The reality is last place seasons aren't created equal, all right? There's a reason everyone references the Avs 48-point season.
Because we all lived through every inch of that.
The question isn't how much better would the team have been. It's like how many wins did this player account for? How much higher up in the standings, how many more games would you have won, you know, or would you have lost without this player? And for me, Erik Karlsson, he could score 5 goals in a night. The Sharks will probably still lose 8-5. It's like those are just – it's empty calories. It means nothing. It's entertaining. It's fun. It's good for him.
Right. If he scores 5 goals a night, I would probably give him MVP.
I said in a night.
I think you guys aren't valuing creating competitive hockey enough. I would put it that way.
But that's the point. The point I'm making is it's not competitive hockey.
It certainly wouldn't be if they didn't have Erik Karlsson.
It's still not. It's still not. He has had an unbelievable start, and they've won 8 of 25 games.
Yeah. Right.
But those games have been competitive because of him, instead of just blowout after blowout.
They have a negative 13 goal differential, man. They've won 2 out of 16 home games. 14 home games.
They're still fucking terrible.
Exactly. They're terrible, man.
But they'd be way more terrible without. See, like I said,
so they'd be terrible.
The Ted Lindsay Award is exactly what you're looking for. A bottom guy who has 15 ties on the year and was really good, but his team sucks. Most outstanding player. Good for him. He had a great season.
Megan, are you still awake?
I think we should talk about AAA hockey instead.
Yeah. AJ, you missed it. Rudo and I almost got the beatings last night for not giving the Thunderbirds enough credit for producing NHL talent.
Grasshoppers on us.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I mean,
we're not going down this road.
They're Colorado's best program, man, and they don't produce shit.
They don't produce shit?
Yeah.
We should end the show here.
Who's the last NHL player to come from the Thunderbirds program?
Roy Terry.
Okay, there's one.
Dylan Gambrell.
I'll be honest.
Apparently.
I don't think Mikey that I do.
Mikey, apparently. One. This is how it got spurred on. It was from the broadcast, too, and then talking about Mikey. The Hadouks kids.
What we were talking about, AJ, was
while all of those dudes got produced by NHLers, pretty much all of them went to the USNTDP beforehand.
Okay, but this is just the trajectory of hockey. This is the age group that it came to. They go on to something else after that, but they went through the program.
And Colorado doesn't have anything after that. That's the problem.
Yeah, we need a USHL team.
The Thunderbirds. Like, you can't blame the Thunderbirds for not having
something
to feed into.
We need a USHL team. Let's get the money together and let's have Brandon buy one for us and we will run it.
Brandon, can they play on a yacht?
We don't need a man. Look, we could put a yacht in the stands. It can be our party deck.
So, AJ, the way this conversation started last night was, do you feel any extra attachment to players who are from Colorado?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. See, Rudo and I both said no. And we said the reason for that was because any of the kids that by the time they become anything of noteworthy to start following, they've already left Colorado. And that led to the, no, they come out of Thunderbirds. And we kind of went down this whole thing.
I guess I would say I guess Troy Terry doesn't feel like one of us because he's a Duck, right? But, like, if he – say Troy Terry gets into free agency and he signs, what is our number one thing that we talk about?
Troy
Terry's coming home.
And, see, Jesse and I said we don't care where they're from.
I think it's a bigger deal. Oddly enough, I think it would be a bigger deal because Colorado doesn't produce – NHL talent like Minnesota does or Massachusetts or Michigan or whatever. Like, it's weird to me that Minnesota feels entitled to all Minnesota players when there's like 100 of them in the NHL. But like, Colorado producing an NHL player, you know, I think is super cool because it doesn't happen very often. So like, I guess if they were a Thunderbird and then they also went to DU, like Troy Terry,
like, or the Slavens at Colorado College.
Okay. Sure. Like, yeah.
See, I said AJ last night.
I don't know. I got to think about this. I don't know how I feel.
So
I don't think we should go on this tangent because I'm already getting angry again.
I said that Troy Terry was actually one of the few that I did feel that way because he's from Highlands Ranch. I'm also from Highlands Ranch. It's a small little suburb. Like, that's when it's like, oh, yeah, this kid from the same community that I grew up in, like, that's cool. Now, I would also feel differently if Colorado had, like, a USHL team and you had a kid that went from the Thunderbirds to the USHL team, then played at DU, and then found – it's like, yeah.
Then got drafted by the Avs.
Right. Well, and, like, I used the example last night of, like, Philip Lindsay. He went to East. He went to CU. And then he played for the Broncos. It's like, yes, that's a true – homegrown Colorado kid. And you just, the nature of the sport, you don't get that as much with hockey. Like, oh yeah, it's a Colorado kid until he went and played with the Chicago Steel for 3 years.
Well, maybe that's part of what Minnesota does do really well is that they grow up in a really competitive high school hockey scene and they go to the U, or they go to Duluth, or they go to Minnesota State. You know, they go to one of the really, like, one of several really good college programs, and they spend the first 20 years in Minnesota growing up playing hockey. Like, everything right. about them as a hockey product is Minnesota produced. You know, after they leave the Thunderbirds, most of the Colorado kids will disperse and go elsewhere.
I think a fair amount of the Minnesota high school kids do a year or two in the USHL before they go to the NCAA.
Well, there's a ton of them. So, yeah, so I thought there's a
very similar conversation. I think it's okay not to credit the Thunderbirds as the development program that developed these talents. But I think it's okay to note, too, that a fair amount of players in the American and National League were from the Thunderbirds.
I would also like to point out, at no point did we ever say we actually had beef with the Thunderbirds, ILY.
Maybe. They were like, we're going to fight all of the former present Thunderbird players, families.
Yeah. AJ, do you think you could murder a Thunderbird? Like, you versus the mythical creature of a Thunderbird. One? Could you fight one to the death and win?
No.
I asked if how many 6 and under Thunderbirds players you thought you could fight off, but they didn't.
Are they coming at me in waves or at one time? Do they have gear on? Or what is the environment in which we are scrapping?
It's up to you.
I feel confident I could take some 6-year-olds, but
see, it's the same thing with how many first graders. Like if you back them into a narrow corner, they're coming at you 1-2 at a time. Like, you could go for a while. They're swarming you from every angle.
Yeah, you got ones like biting your ankles, and you got one like hanging off, like coming after your ear, and like, and then you know you, nah, man, that's a tough ask, but I mean, it's very zombie apocalypse.
Up in this bitch?
Before Megan She-Hulks out on us, I wanted to bring something up in what will be the year of our Lord 2023. Is Lindy Ruff going to win? Coaching award?
No, because his goalie's not good enough yet. Vitek Vanacek's not going to chase him.
It's Monty.
More Jim Montgomery talk, of course.
She's right.
I was going to say, of all things for you to say, I'm just kidding. That is not the one.
Monty's there. I've gotten really hard in the paint for like Colorado-related ties today. I need to step down a little bit.
For the last 18 hours.
Boston is 19-3. New Jersey is 19-4. It's Monte.
Okay, ask again tomorrow and it might be it might be Lindy.
Done. Yeah. Lindy Ruff might have caught him, but it's Monte right now.
Fair enough. Any final thoughts on awards, or we'll get out of here?
How many Thunderbirds do you think you could take with the awards as weapons?
To get through me first. None.
None. Oh, gosh.
I don't know. The bottom of that MVP trophy is pretty solid.
Well, those little soft spots aren't.
Okay. We're going to wrap this show up. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us on an off day. We will be back tomorrow to watch the Avs game, pregame, watch along, postgame, the whole nine for you. So be sure to tune into that. Like and subscribe here on YouTube. If you want the party bus tickets, go get them because they probably are going to go pretty quick. It's pretty limited seating already. So be sure you go get it from the DNVR locker. We love y'all, and we will talk to you tomorrow.